The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
There's the horn. For the first time in 19 years, the Sacramento Kings have won a road playoff game. They have done it at the expense of Steve Kerr's Warriors, who have been so brilliant. Their home playoff record in the Kerr era, 58-12, will make it 58-13 as the Kings get the victory. The final score is 118-99, and it was a gritty, gutty performance. It was one that Mike Brown said, I want everybody to be able to look at their teammates' eyes and know that you have given it all. I want every one of our players to look in the mirror and know that they have given it all. Well, they gave it all tonight.
That was a year ago, the great G-Man in San Francisco, Game 6, forcing a decisive Game 7 at Golden 1 Center. Ultimately won by the Warriors, but it's basically the same scenario we've got in front of us tomorrow night. Win and move on to another opportunity to get in the postseason, lose, and the season comes to an end. It's here. The Kings earned this spot, like it or not, 46-36, identical record as the Warriors, but the Kings have the tiebreaker. That's why this game is going to be at home tomorrow, and it should be a lot of fun. We had some perspective earlier on the Warriors side of things with John Dickinson. Now let's bring in our Sacktown Sports Kings insider, Frankie Cardicelli. Frankie, we watched the 82, all the ups and downs, and it just kind of felt inevitable, I guess, that here we are, a play-in game, Kings and Warriors. Let's do it again, right?
Yeah, it's kind of funny how it works out, how a huge talking point of the season was a lot of reflection on what went wrong last April, and of course, a lot of talk around Domantas Sabonis, which I know you and John talked about, how the Warriors could have a different look up front with Trayce Jackson-Davis starting at the center spot, but we're going to see a chance for the Kings to kind of erase some of those troubles and turmoils that we've been reflecting on and, you know, send the Warriors to bed, which could be maybe the last time we see this big three the Warriors have of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green together. So it's a chance for the Kings to kind of get over that hump and beat, I guess, if you want to call them Big Brother. They kind of have been Big Brother. You want to get past Big Brother and have a chance to make the actual real thing. It's right there for you in front of you. But it's pretty funny how we're back here to Kings Warriors for a game 83.
Yeah, and I personally would feel better if I felt better about the way the Kings are playing. Now, I don't think they're playing poorly, but they're also not winning as many games as anybody would like to see. Yesterday, I feel like they just needed for their own psyche to make sure that was a win, and that was a no-doubter. But, I mean, that Phoenix loss was a gut punch. The Boston loss, the couple of Dallas losses here recently, the New Orleans loss. I mean, it's just they've had a lot of that feeling. Do you think just seeing a W, just seeing the beam, just making an easy one yesterday gives them any kind of jolt, at least in the confidence level for tomorrow, or does that even matter?
Yeah, I think just having a win like that, which they have one against the Nets a week or so ago, and I think just having like a palate cleanser like yesterday, seeing the ball go in, having everyone in the starting five get their offense going, everyone on the team getting some run, I think it is really good to kind of just clear things out and get back to the drawing board. And I think that a trend that all those losses that you've listed, there's been a similar trend in those games. They've really had a tough time executing down the stretch. Their late game execution has really just been head scratching. And even that game against Phoenix with some uncharacteristic things like Domantas Sabonis with the turnover to De'Aaron Fox, just things that you don't really see happen often. This team really has been surprising to me, at least with their late game execution. Whereas I think earlier in the year, they were much better at that. And could it be because they're missing some key guys? Sure. Could it be because that they're still in the process of forming this new Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter-less identity? Sure. But I do think that the Kings do have enough talent to get where they want to be, and that's getting, of course, past the Warriors. I think that both of these teams are pretty unique in that front, that they have had an up-and-down season. The Warriors really had a bad front half of the year. The Kings have had a bad second half. And we're going to kind of see which Jekyll and Hyde half of these teams show up tomorrow night at Golden 1 Center.
So it became pretty evident, I think, by like yesterday. I don't know how you took in the game because obviously it was like the Kings are not going to lose this game. And I just found myself monitoring the Pelicans' Lakers game to see if the Kings could actually be eight. But once that also was feeling like the inevitable, Frankie, what first came to your mind when you're thinking, okay, one game, one opportunity, Kings and Warriors, what were you thinking then about whether how the Kings could do it or Warriors related? Kind of what was your thought like, here we go again?
I kind of thought like maybe this is fate. Like I was kind of just laughing to the guys of a media row about that it would be so like fitting for the Kings to have this chance to get over that hump. And it'd be fitting in my mind to actually do it. I mean, I always think more on the optimistic side. I try to for someone that's watched the Kings forever. I mean, everybody out there approaches games their own way, but I look at it as a chance for this is another chance for the Kings to prove themselves, to prove that they are a rising power in the Western Conference. And of course, it's hard to say rising power for a 9 seed beating a 10 seed, but we know this team has plenty of talent, that they were on a very good track before these injuries happened. And I hate to use that as an excuse, but you really can't minimize the impact Malik Monk has had on this team and how lost they felt without him, I feel like, in a lot of these games. And kind of looking back, the first thing I did when the Pelicans were up on that 20, or the Lakers took a 27-point lead, I think I started diving through some of those Kings-Warriors box scores. And it's one game, but I look back at the last time these two teams met in January, Malik Monk had a really bad game that night. He had 4 points, 3 assists, and 3 turnovers. He was a minus 11 and plus minus. That was kind of like your example of, can the Kings survive without him? And sure, it was a 1-point win in a game that Harrison Barnes nearly scored 40 points, but the Kings, they found a way to get over that, to get past that you know, Malik Monk rough game, and they're going to have to get past having no Kevin Huerter and no Malik Monk tomorrow night. But I don't think it's impossible. I think I think you and John talked about De'Aaron Fox. I'm looking at him. If he's having one of those explosive nights where he's really tough to stop, his offense is working in all areas, he's really tough to beat. And I think Brendan Nunez even put a tweet up last night that I kind of agree with. It's really a tall task, but if De'Aaron Fox somehow outplays Stephen Curry,
to me
it's hard to see how the Kings don't come away with a win. If De'Aaron Fox can outperform Stephen Curry, which is a massive task, the Kings are going to be in a great spot. And there's a lot of areas of concern. The Warriors are a top two, I think, team in three-point shooting. They're shooting 38% from three this year. They really win a lot of their games that way, which has been no surprise. It's what they've been doing for the past decade. But last year, the Kings were a complete no-show from three-point range. They shot 30% over that seven-game series. So I think a lot of tomorrow is going to come from behind that three-point line. And the Kings, as we've seen, they're very hot and cold. And when they're cold, they try to shoot their way out of it. And sometimes they get too big of a hole where it's impossible. So I think it's going to be who gets going from three early and can kind of get a little bit of distance in the scoreboard. But it really is going to be an intriguing matchup for sure.
Yeah, the one thing I think might be something interesting in speaking on Fox there, Frankie, is last year what I recollect in that series, Fox was just terrific. I mean, they tried Moody, they tried Kuminga, Draymond, Clay. Steph barely guarded him. But, I mean, they really threw a lot of different guys at him. And I thought one of the guys that did the best was GP2. I mean, I think he's a tough physical defender, athlete. Just that's his calling card. He's hurt, and I don't know his availability for tomorrow, but if he is out, again, that's not full advantage Kings, but that's a depth player that I think that Steve Kerr could throw on De'Aaron Fox to do some tough minutes on him. And if he's out, I think that could be a big boost for the Kings.
Yeah, it's tough to say if he's going to be a go or not. It looks like I'm looking up an update room right now. I think he's out for the year. They rolled him out yesterday for the remainder of the season. So no GP2 tomorrow, but I do think that tomorrow is going to have a little bit of a different twist on the defensive end for both teams. I mean, I was looking up just kind of gathering just the recent numbers, and both of these teams are top 10 in both offensive and defensive rating since the All-Star break. The Kings are 9th in defensive rating since the All-Star break. The Warriors are 7th, so they're very, very close here. It's 110.9 to 110.5. And I feel like last year the Kings really didn't have this greater sense of defensive identity where, you know, Keon Ellis was not getting minutes in that playoff series. He wasn't even getting minutes in the rotation at the beginning of this year, and now he's a major player for this Kings team. Davion Mitchell was someone who the Kings couldn't really have on the floor late in that series because of his offensive shortcomings. Davion Mitchell has been shooting over 42% from three for the past 30 or so games. He finished the year above 36%. So these are different looks for this team who are going to have more of a defensive impact, more defensive players on the floor. And, of course, that doesn't even factor in De'Aaron Fox, who has been more engaged. He led the NBA in steals and steals per game this year. Keegan Murray has been one of the Kings' premier on-ball defenders this season. So this game could have a little less offense versus offensive firepower and have more of a defensive versus defensive aspect. And I do feel like that is an intriguing part of this game, because the last time these two teams met, they both looked completely different. Mm-hmm. And I guess something you and John talked about as well, that the Kings were still that same 1-8 in the rotation, where they had their starting five with Herder, and then they had Mitchell, Monk, and Lyles off the bench. Now that there's Keon Ellis in the starting five, Davion Mitchell's playing 20-plus minutes per game, they're digging deeper into the bench and using guys that are more of a defense-first mentality. So it's going to put more pressure on guys like De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis to be positives on offense, Keegan Murray to do things on both sides of the ball. But I do think that the defensive component of this game is going to be very intriguing to watch.
Sactown Sports Kings insider Frankie Cardicelli joining us here on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Frankie, you mentioned Sabonis. Last year, you know, there's kind of mixed reviews on whether he had a good series or not. Warriors did a really good job on him. How do the Kings make sure that he is unlocked, unleashed to his full potential? And that could mean scoring, but really it's his playmaking. And I think of all the things that we knew the Kings would miss when Malik Monk was out, I think it's taken something from Sabonis too. So that will still be the case tomorrow. But how do the Kings really make sure they get the best version of Sabonis tomorrow?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. And to my recollection, I do feel like Domantas Sabonis has fared better against Trayce Jackson-Davis. So I do wonder if the Kings will go to him early and see what the defense is presenting them. And I think Sabonis, we saw it against Phoenix, he really went at Yusuf Nurkic and went to the basket, was aggressive on offense and looking for a shot. I think that we'll see some of that early. And if it's not there, obviously we see Sabonis go with the DHOs and trying to find his teammates on the perimeter. But I'm looking to see if he can put his head down and try to be a positive for the Kings in and around the basket. I think that if that isn't there early, we could see Kevon Looney come out and, again, another chance for him to redeem himself from last year. Again, the Warriors did a very good job of doubling him in the paint and really making him uncomfortable. But we saw Sabonis shoot the mid-range and even a couple threes the other night against Phoenix, which is something I feel like has been obvious. It's been a large topic of conversation around Domantas Sabonis. Can he develop a consistent mid-range jumper? It looked good the other night. We don't see it too often. We mostly see those push shots or kind of half hooks by the rim. But if he can knock down that mid-range early, if they're giving it to him, and again, the Warriors gave it to him last year. They would sag off him and let him shoot those 15, 18 footers. So if he can knock down some of those early and cause the Warriors to come up a little bit, that creates holes in that defense where other guys can you know, penetrate the paint and get to the basket, because the Warriors are not one of the best teams in the league as far as paint protection. They really have struggled there at times this season. So if he can find his offense early and get to the basket, I think that it's a different look for this Kings offense versus where he's having to kick it out and the Kings are relying on just knocking down threes. They've been living and dying with a three ball so much this year. And if that happens early and it's not going in, it's going to be a long night for the Kings.
Steph is a nightmare for everybody. He's proven to be a nightmare for the Kings. We know what he did in Game 7. Mm-hmm. I feel with Keon in there, with Keegan's development defensively, certainly Fox when you need him, and the way Davion's playing, they're as well equipped to handle him. Now, I say that, but that also still means Steph could have 40. How do you think just the defensive approach to Steph will be tomorrow?
I mean, I think it's going to be kind of how a lot of teams approach him. You know, you're going to throw your best defenders out there, and you're going to hope that the guys either, you know, don't get lost on screens and give Stephen Curry enough time to get free. And I think the Kings have done a better job of late on the defensive end in that regard. Keon Ellis is a guy I think that we could see start off on Steph. But I think that Keegan Murray was someone who really has done a solid job, all things considered. Again, Stephen Curry probably has scored 20-plus points on a decent percentage, but for Stephen Curry's standards, I think Keegan Murray's done a better job than not of defending him or other guys that he's defended over the course of the season. So I'm intrigued to see if they start off with Keegan on Stephen Curry. But like you said, there's a couple of guys you can always try out. You can try Davion Mitchell, who the Kings deployed on him last year and really did work. I think in Game 6, it was mostly Game 6 and Game 2 back in Sacramento, where Davion Mitchell was a plus defender on that end and Stephen Curry was his main assignment. De'Aaron Fox is someone, again, who has had times guarding Stephen Curry. They're very familiar with each other. I wouldn't be surprised to see him pick Stephen Curry up if Curry gets going and Murray or Mitchell are having some trouble. But you have a multitude of guys that you can throw at him and say, okay, who's doing the best job of keeping Stephen Curry, first of all, near him, who's not losing him on those screens, because the Warriors like to throw those double picks to get Steph free at the top of the perimeter. So the Kings are in a good spot as far as that goes, that they do have the defenders this year, whereas last year you had De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Herter, Malik Monk, and Davion Mitchell. And really, as Davion Mitchell had his shortcomings on offense, De'Aaron Fox struggled to defend Stephen Curry. So it's hard to sit there and say, let's slow down Stephen Curry, and the game's going to go our way. But that's obviously going to be at the top of their list. If Stephen Curry has another 50-point game like Game 7, it's nearly impossible to pull out a win.
You know, when I think about games like this, too, we're obviously going to spotlight the superstars, which makes sense, Frankie, but sometimes it's another hero that comes out of nowhere. I would say the Warriors' advantage in that is that their bench is deeper based on just they have more personnel available. But is there a player or two in your mind, Kings or Warriors, that you're thinking, man, that they could have a huge impact in this game?
Yeah, I mean, outside of the obvious two, like Fox and Sabonis, I do think the Kings will go as far as those guys take them, but I'm looking at someone like Harrison Barnes again, who has been scoring more as of late. I know that he's been under a lot of criticism this year, and he's disappeared in a lot of games, but they've really made an effort to get him involved in offense, kind of like they did during that stretch where he scored 39 points in Golden State. He's able to get into the paint. I've said it all the time. He's so valuable with his ability to get downhill and use his strength to get to the basket. He does a very good job of drawing fouls when he's engaged. So I'm looking to him to see, can he be a positive? Can he knock down his open triples, which has not been a problem for him more times than not this year? Can he get into the paint and be aggressive? I'm looking at him, and I'm also looking at the bench as a whole, just the bench unit. Trey Lyles is somebody who's knocked down some pretty big threes. He had some big triples last year in the postseason. Been kind of up and down for him. Obviously, they don't look to get him involved as much. If other guys like Keegan Murray or other players like Davion Mitchell have their offense going, they're looking to get those guys on the perimeter as well. But I'm looking at the Kings bench unit. Again, maybe they're not as deep as the Warriors, but they do have some guys that can come out and make an impact. And those guys that has named Davion Mitchell and Trey Lyles are the ones I'm looking at. But I kind of am looking at it as a group effort. You're gonna need a little bit from everybody. You're gonna need a little bit from everybody. But I think if your stars like De'Aaron and Sabonis are picking things up on their end, if Fox is locked in from the perimeter as well, where he's been hot and cold this year, it takes a little pressure off of some of those other guys to kind of just chip in here and there. But the Kings, I really do am looking at it. And there's plenty of names that can step up and make an impact. But I think Harrison Barnes is somebody who it also would be kind of like a chef's kiss to his career storyline with last year what happened in Game 4, that open shot. Can he put himself in a position to eliminate his old team? I think that'd be a very nice way to kind of, you know, help Harrison Barnes feel a little better about his season and maybe have fans view the season if he shows up in a big game. So a lot of areas for redemption for the Kings, and HB's at the top of that list.
Yeah, I'm thinking too about like other people to watch in this one on the Warriors side of things. Chris Paul, I felt like the couple times the Kings in matchups this year, maybe Curry goes off the floor, you're like, whew, you can exhale a little bit. But then he comes in and just runs the team differently, and you're like, man, it's so nice to have a Hall of Fame point guard coming off the bench like that. He's a guy that'll worry me tomorrow.
And that's why they got him. This is kind of like the first look we're going to get at the Warriors in a postseason environment with Chris Paul. How valuable is that? Is there like not much of a drop off? I mean, the way that he's generated offense, again, I would expect that he's going to be making an impact. And I look at the way that Chris Paul for his entire career has been effective inside the paint. He does a very good job of getting in and around the basket, and he knocks down those 10, 15 footers, kind of like a fadeaway, like a Luka-esque fadeaway with that front lead going forward. So I'm looking to see if he can keep his off. If he's going to be moving the ball around, I think he can live with that. But if Chris Paul gets his offense going, which has not really been a part of his game, that's where you don't want him to hurt you. And that's kind of been a trend for the Kings, letting players that usually don't have big nights on offense get going. I think Moses Moody had a big game in the playoffs last year, and that hurt the Kings. And I think it was Game 5 at Golden 1 Center where Moses Moody got his offense going. So can the Kings, you know, focus on the big guys, not let any of the supporting cast hurt you? Can the Kings keep Jonathan Kuminga from scoring 30-plus points like he did last time they played at Chase Center? I'm looking at the other end of that as well. Chris Paul factors into that equation, but don't let one supporting cast player just completely get going and change the outcome of the game, because if Klay Thompson, who's had his hot and cold stretches this year, more cold than not against the Kings, if those guys are struggling, him and Curry, you really don't want to let someone like Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga get going while those other guys kind of sit back and get ready to reengage later in the game and find their offense. So it's kind of like a scenario of let's avoid having a hero situation and have someone step up on the other end and kind of become part of Warriors postseason lore. So the Kings will have to control those guys and you know, especially Chris Paul.
I know you were in the media room yesterday in the post game where I think Davion was one, or Keegan came out first, then it was Davion, and Davion was, you know, asked about the Warriors, and it looked like he was like, yeah, like, let's go, bring it on. Where I felt, again, I'm reading the room without being down there, but Mike Brown was kind of like, Yeah, here we are again. You know, and it's funny. It's probably a mixed reaction for some. Like, yeah, this is the team I've been thinking about, circled. I want to play them again, whether it's play-in or a playoff. And then others like, oh, this team again. Because remember the beginning of the year, Frankie, from the seven-game series to I think there was a couple preseason, and then they played three times in like the first 10 games. Like, enough with the Warriors, but here we are again.
Yeah, and there's practice today at 12:15 or so, so we'll get a chance to hear from the other guys, like the Sabonis and Fox mm-hmm. and maybe others, about how they truly feel about this series. But I do think that if there's a wide sense of something, it's got to be a sense of excitement that they have a chance to be in the same exact position they're in last year. They're in a single elimination game at home with a packed house at Golden 1 Center. This is exact. I mean, if you had to drop a single elimination playing game, I think this is exactly what you'd want it. You have a chance to change a lot of those narratives that have been following the team for most of this year. And if you don't, I mean, it just kind of adds to it, and it kind of just magnifies those discussions and kind of adds to the what comes next conversation if you lose to the Warriors again at home, single elimination. So I think that most of the guys are excited, Davion Mitchell especially, because he's someone that, you know, I think that his Kings career was kind of in limbo at the beginning of the year. We didn't really know what to expect from him, as his offense was not good at the beginning of the year, and he wasn't seeing the floor in some stretches. Out of the rotation for a time at the beginning of the year, he has to be motivated to go out there and prove on a large stage, a national stage, that, you know, matched up against Stephen Curry at times on the defensive end, that he can hang at this level. And he's done a good job of that the past couple of weeks or months on the offensive end and defensive end, and I'm sure he's excited for that moment tomorrow night. But that, I think that echoes the sentiment of a lot of guys in the Kings locker room. I think that there's a lot of motivation to come out and prove that they can beat this team. They can get over that hump and beat the Golden State Warriors, but they have to go out there and prove it on the hardwood tomorrow night.
Yeah, and then lastly for you, Frankie, in our final minute here, kind of feels like now's not quite the time for the season evaluation, because I think probably more people would be a little bit down on that, but it could change, right? I mean, if they win tomorrow, if they win Friday and they actually get to the postseason, I mean, this week is a gauntlet. If they did that, that would be a feat, knowing they've got guys out. And then it kind of feels like the whole season perspective would feel a little bit different than, you know, all the ups and downs that we just experienced.
Yeah, I think, I mean, myself personally, and everyone can fan how they want to fan and evaluate or, you know, look at the seasons they want. But I think if the Kings were to even win tomorrow night and just beat the Warriors, take a step forward in some regard, I mean, this is a team, again, that they did not plan on being on looking this way going into the postseason. This is not a team that had injury problems last year, and I hate to use it as an excuse, but it is what it is. The Kings are missing two very important pieces of the rotation, and really, in my opinion, they're either second or third best player in Malik Monk. So this is a team that's going to have some decisions to make this offseason. Obviously, Malik Monk's future is in question. There's a lot of questions around roster construction and, mm-hmm. and who will be here, who will not. But they have a chance to, again, like you said, it's going to be a gauntlet. But if you win tomorrow night and you can beat the Lakers or Pelicans somehow, the Pelicans, I know the Kings are 0-5 against them, but if you can somehow get to a first-round series again, and it doesn't matter if you go five or six games, or you never know if the Kings can somehow beat the Thunder. They've matched up well against them this year. Maybe Malik Monk comes back, but I think getting to a first round makes this year, to me, a success. If you are not taking steps back as far as missing the playoffs as a whole, you're in that first round again. To me, I think it's a success. Even beating the Warriors and just taking a step forward in some regard, I think that, to me, is a win, because the Kings, of all the conversations around the Kings and Warriors. But not over yet. We have to see what happens tomorrow night and beyond. But I'm not looking at it as this is a you know, negative situation for the Kings tomorrow night. I think that the Kings are going to rise to the challenge, and I personally am expecting big things. I think if it doesn't happen tomorrow night, I mean, when will it? This is the perfect opportunity. But, you know, it's the Kings we're talking about, so nothing surprises me. But I'm excited to get out there and see it all unfold.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Frankie, we appreciate your time. We appreciate all the work you do on Sacktown Sports as well. I encourage everybody to check out Frankie's work, Brendan's work, everybody out there. Constant coverage. Frankie, thanks so much, and we'll see you at the game tomorrow.
Thank you, guys. I'm excited to get out there. Appreciate it.
Should be fun. Again, check out Frankie's work, Brendan's work, everybody doing all the hard work on SacktownSports.com. Constant content there for you on this matchup tomorrow night. We've got more on that coming up. What to watch tonight to kind of get you ready for tomorrow's showdown. Everybody's going to be locked in and focused for tomorrow and still to come crosstalk with Styles and Watkins and celebrity birthdays. That is all coming up right here on Sacktown Sports.
I mean, I like it. I like it because we haven't faced it yet, you know, and that's what's exciting to me is okay, what are we made of? Or, you know, can we go get this done? Especially versus a team that knocked us out last year, a team that has four or five championships and championship level coaching staff. Can we go get it done in this type of environment? Because it's a different type of pressure than a seven-game series. Because you know, if you drop one, you're gonna have another opportunity. You don't have no other opportunity here. You got to go get this one. And so it takes a different level of focus, a different level of confidence or belief going into the game, and for sure a different level of execution throughout the course of the game on both sides of the floor. So I like it, and I truly feel our guys will embrace it.
Mike Brown talking about the possibility, now the reality of playing the Golden State Warriors, play-in game, winner goes home, survives and goes on to the road to play either the Lakers or the Pelicans, loser goes home. And that's the reality of the play-in situation, the 9 versus 10 in this case. If you kind of do things sometimes the way people like do their projections and trying to read into this one game, history probably in some sense falls on the Warriors' side. This is a group that's won championships. As Mike Brown said, they're a championship coaching staff. They've been in really large moments, but also they didn't win all of them. They didn't win every championship. They had a 3-1 lead on the Cavs. I went through the history of the NBA play-in in the Western Conference since 2021, since this format has been involved. The Warriors were what seed were they? They were the 8 seed in 2021. So in the 7-8 game, and they lost to the Lakers in that one, then had a chance on the safety net to play the then 9 seed Memphis Grizzlies. That was at home, and they lost that one. So that was a team that had already won multiple championships that lost that. I would have thought probably reading that, oh, yeah, they'll definitely win that second one. They'll beat Memphis. They didn't. Kings have never been in the play-in. Kings lost to the Warriors last year in 7 games. Again, I'll reiterate, did not leave that series thinking the Warriors were the better team. Would not say that the Kings were the better team. Felt like that was about as even as you could get. This year, they've got the exact same record. They've played 4 times. It's 2-2. 3 games have been decided by 1 point. It's pretty even. I would say right now the Warriors are playing better than the Sacramento Kings. They are healthier than the Sacramento Kings, though that GP2 injury could be big if he's out. Kuminga, John Dickinson, thanks to him joining us earlier, mentioned that Kuminga is a little bit banged up. The Kings are missing 2 very important pieces, Kevin Huerter and certainly Malik Monk. But that's what you got. That's the reality. That's the situation. None of that stuff matters come tip-off tomorrow. So I'm anxious. I'm really excited for it. It's going to be a lot of fun today as far as getting you prepped for that, what to watch. No basketball today. It all gets going tomorrow. And by the way this was set up, I don't know if anybody knew kind of the inner workings of this. Normally, the 9-10 game is Wednesday for each conference. But because the Philadelphia 76ers were the 7 seed, they had to play Wednesday because the Flyers are going to play on their home ice tomorrow in Philadelphia. So once that news happened before tip-off yesterday, we're like, well, the Kings are playing Tuesday no matter what, whether they're 8, 9, or 10. And in this case, we know they're 9. They now host the Warriors. The first game tomorrow will be the Lakers at the Pelicans. And I know the Pelicans got crushed yesterday, but that's weird too, that the fact that the same 2 teams played yesterday are playing tomorrow for opportunity to be the 7 seed. There's some argument out there going, well, it might be better to lose that game and then take your chances at the Kings or Warriors. Because
those articles.
Yeah. It's like, I would not mess with that. You just get in, and if you have to play Denver, you have to play Denver, whether you're playing them in the first round or the conference finals. Got to play them at some point.
I'm with you.
Don't mess with game. Like, if you think, you never play to lose, and no one will sit people tomorrow. You have a safety net. It's not the end of the world if you did lose, but don't tinker with that. You got to try to advance. So no games tonight in the NBA. Major League Baseball, we got the Cardinals at the A's, Giants at the Marlins. But what we put down here was, if there was a game, Simone, like from the Kings season this year, or really any game, to kind of get you fired up, motivated for tomorrow's game. I mean, one of the games I'll think about is the Kings' 24-point comeback earlier this year in the in-season tournament to beat the Warriors.
I have that noted right here. That's November 28th, correct?
Yep. I wouldn't mind going back to game one of last year, game two of last year, game six of last year.
Yes.
I mean, you could even watch the games that they lost in that series and know. I mean, it wasn't like when they lost the game, that's the outcome. They played well in some of those games. Like game seven is always kind of painted as a total disaster. It really was in the second half, but it was a one possession game at halftime. It's like, who's going to win this game?
Were you also on the road? You were with G-Man for game six, correct?
Game two, or game three, four, and six. Yeah,
yeah, and I had the pleasure of attending game six, too. So then I got to go in there and be like, oh, my goodness, this is happening. That was incredible.
That
love
was a great
game
feeling.
Six.
Yeah, and so you were there on the road to see a team win on the road, the team you're supporting win on the road. That's such a fantastic. Like, it's great to be at home because everybody's celebrating.
Yeah.
But on the road, when you're with the few Kings fans that are there and just like, this, like, people are leaving.
I was there as the media, so of course being respectful and having decorum.
But it's cool to see.
You know this story, right? I've told this high and low here at Sacktown Sports that I attended the Clippers game, that historic.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
so
right.
So I'm a road warrior.
A good luck
not
charm.
Like that, though.
Well, but that is special to win on the road. Now, tomorrow's here. It still would be special if there's, you know, celebration for the Kings and lighting the beam and something special about knocking out the Warriors. Like if each perspective on this, Simone, if the Kings were to win, I mean, it really could be a damaging loss to the Warriors. Like, it might not be the same Warriors team that we've seen become champions.
Correct.
Like, Clay is a free agent.
Yep.
I don't know if Chris Paul will be back. Like, there's a lot of reshaping. Like, Steph and Draymond, I expect to be back. But if the Kings were to lose, the team's got to be different. But, I mean, we're likely going to see Keegan and Fox. And, you know, they're still in the earlier stages of this, but it would still hurt, obviously, if they didn't lose. I mean, if they did lose. So that's why it's a risk, right? It's the risk reward of what tomorrow has.
I don't think it's entirely settled for me. It still feels like, I don't know, like, I know as much as we were talking about it, feeling like a little bit of like last day of school vibes for me yesterday. But right now, here in this moment, I'm a little unsettled, and it doesn't even feel like it's going to be this critical of a game tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, it will be.
It's gonna feel like that.
You better get there and get there soon. All right, break time for us. When we come back, Styles and Watkins in studio with us. A little crosstalk with them. Also, celebrity birthdays. We'll see how the group does. Brought to you by our friends at Crumble Cookies. That is next here on Sacktown Sports.
It's time for the news of the day.
The latest headlines, the biggest stories, hard-hitting analysis.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
And now,
here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
Yeah. Oh. Smattering of applause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is that time, a little crosstalk, Styles and Watkins in studio, ready to roll. What's up, guys?
Not much.
Nothing's going on?
Not much.
No meaningful games or anything coming
not
up
that
in the
I
future?
Not that I can find.
Just can't avoid it.
End of the regular season, you know. Yeah. You know how quiet it gets after
saying
the season.
Saying goodbye to the season.
I
was saying this no man's land. Maybe you guys know. I was talking to Simone about this earlier. Like, we know tomorrow's not a playoff game.
Sure isn't.
It's not game 83, technically. So if Fox, I use Fox as an example, goes for 60, becomes the first Sacramento King ever to have a 60-point game. Mm-hmm. Where does that go? Is that
I don't know.
Is it just kind of a no man's land? Like, hey, that
the
play-in
upside
game.
Down.
I was trying to find even like play-in records, and it's not.
I think
it's not readily
stats
available.
Stats are gone. I think.
Yeah, very weird.
It's about winning. It's really, is all that matters.
What happens when? I know it was. I'd say a couple years ago. It might be four now. When it happened in baseball, and they had a game
163.
Yeah.
I think they do have a standing for that. I think it is a playoff game. Or is it? If it's 163, it's a regular season game, right?
Exactly.
But this is like in no man's land, right? It's not a regular season game.
Yeah.
It's not game 83.
Yep.
But I'm glad they have it. I like the plan. I mean, it's unique. I mean, I wish the Kings were in six or above, but here they are. And
I heard
if they were the play-in, they were out. They would have been eliminated yesterday.
Sam Amick was talking about that, I think, on your guys' show last week about, you know, there's some grumblings about, I think I kind of fall on the other side, shockingly. But, like,
I
feel like if you're not top 8 seed, you didn't make the playoffs. You know, like the Kings stumbled at the end of the year, finished 4-6. Like, you didn't play well enough to make the playoffs. Warriors, you guys struggled at the beginning of the year. You didn't play well enough to make the playoffs.
You know, What I think is going to happen is it'll get talked about a lot less once the big names aren't in there anymore. Once Steph retires and LeBron retires and these hybrid cases of historically good teams being in the play-in,
yeah.
Once that ends...
Once it starts looking more like the East.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, they're like, nobody's hyped about the... Yeah,
well, Philly, but the Philly, second one, Miami, Chicago, right. Atlanta,
yeah.
That feels like two teams below. Like, that's... The years the Kings were really trying right. to get in the play-in, it's like the 10th spot in San Antonio would get there with 33 wins. You're
right.
like...
Right.
That's not a very good team.
Right. No, you yeah. remember that Dave Yeager year, the Kings finished ninth in the West, and they won 39 games.
Yeah.
That was ninth
yeah.
in the West.
Right.
The Warriors are 10 games above 500 right,
right now. The best 10 seed ever.
Like yeah.
They literally have the best record yeah. for a 10 seed. And so here's what I think will happen. It's just inevitable. At one point, there'll be, let's say, team 7 and 8 are like 50-plus win teams, and somehow like a 32-win right. team just
yep.
knocks
yep.
out a really good team. You're like, why do we have this?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. it hasn't happened yet.
Especially if that team that you're talking about, what if that team has Luka?
Right.
And the other team doesn't have a brand
no
name.
No star.
And
you're like,
we just so we're just thinking, why did we do this?
Yeah, because right. they could have just been in as a 7 or an 8 and moved on. But yeah, right. but it keeps, 20 teams engaged or more all right. the way through.
Now, it's too soon, but is there any – I've been on a tip of just random ideas and stuff like that. In that situation, do you think that would cause – if they're willing to make changes like this, you have to be within –
Yeah.
5 games of the, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, which is all... the way it originated on the yeah. bubble. It was like the 8, they were going to have the top 8, but if team 9 was within 4 games, they would have a playoff, or like the play-in with 8-9, which
right.
seems like a weird criteria, but maybe they could set that up.
Yeah.
I mean, this year it's fine,
yes.
but not every other year it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess we'd be better off yeah. like if, well, in this case, if some reason the Philly-Miami loser lost to Chicago or Atlanta, I mean, shame on them, but that could
right.
happen, then you're like... Shouldn't we have Miami or Philly
right.
in this?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
But
yeah.
there you go.
We'll see.
Anyway.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, anything can happen. So yeah. I know you guys are going to spend 4 hours today, 4 tomorrow on this, but just
yeah.
early thoughts that here we are again, Kings and Warriors.
I think everybody feels not again. I think that's kind of just the prevailing message that I've seen.
Because of what
Why
it
does
be.
It have to be these guys again?
Yeah. I think there's some bravado going on from the Kings fan side of things, because you have to, right? You can't sit there and say, all right, you're not going to sun us again. But deep down, I don't know how confident Kings fans are. Not because of the team, simply because that Warriors team, GP2, who, you know, we know he can be important, and we don't know. Kuminga did play last
yeah.
game. So besides that, they're only missing GP2, and the Kings are missing Malik Monk, who right. had the game winner when they beat the Warriors, and Kevin Hurt. I mean, those are two legit pieces. So I don't think it's that people don't believe in their team. I think it's just, hey, you're missing two huge
yeah.
pieces.
They're healthier, they're playing better, and they've got the experience mm-hmm. to win the big game. Now, that could mean nothing tomorrow, but those are a lot more boxes that they're checking right
two
now.
2.5 is crazy to me.
That's what the spread is? Yeah.
Yeah.
2.5 for the Warriors. Thought it'd be higher?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kings get a few for being at home, but that's just a few.
Yep. Get hot. Gotta get hot.
All right. Let's see what today is, guys. It's National Laundry Day. You guys do the laundry in your house?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I try to.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not unsuccessful. I always do the laundry, but it's the putting it back
the
in the closet. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Putting it away.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
mind folding.
I can
putting
do
it away,
the
yeah,
laundry,
fine.
But yeah, it yeah. just sits in the dryer or in my hamper for a solid couple days, and then I have to re-dry. It's just a mess.
It's time. Yeah. Let's see. National Rubber Eraser Day. Remember those? When was the last time you used a rubber eraser from school after, you know?
Oh, man.
Not on a pencil?
Yeah, like these.
Yeah.
Like
oh,
these
yeah.
Like gum?
What is it? When I did the SATs, maybe? Scantron?
Okay. Yeah.
I can't remember.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
National Glazed Spiral Ham Day. Sure.
Sure.
Dave would have loved that.
Well, that's why he's not here.
Tax Day. Taxes in? Good?
In.
Yep, all good.
Let's go.
All good. Solid. Already got the return. Feels great.
Oh,
let's
you're
go.
Ahead.
Chris
yeah.
is
oh,
taking me out to lunch,
ahead.
Baby.
Nice.
Already
Federal
spent.
And state.
Already spent.
Money's checked. And come, send it in. All right, let's do it. It's time for celebrity birthdays, guys. As celebrity birthdays brought to you by our friends at Crumble Cookies. Birthdays are meant to be spent with family and friends, and nothing brings family and friends together quite like Crumble Cookies, which, man, we had some chances yesterday. No Crumble Cookies.
I know. Yeah.
Bobon.
Yeah.
Bobon's giving everybody chicken. That guy's the man. All right, here we go. Happy birthday, Emma?
Roberts?
Stone.
Oh.
Watson.
Watson, correct. Emma Watson. How old is Emma Watson?
Is that Hermione?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Also Emma, from This is the End.
Emma
also
Watson great, is how old great today?
Cameo. 36.
32.
Well,
I'm tapping in here?
Yeah, Emma
34,
Watson.
34, please.
We have a correct answer, and it goes to Simone, 34 wow. for Emma Watson.
Yes.
All right, happy birthday, Seth Rogen.
Wow.
Now these
wow,
are
was terrible. Oh, I'm sorry.
That was good.
47?
Oh, oh, wow. I guess he could. Yeah, I guess he could. 44.
Dude, your references are out of control. Everyone knows that.
I'm going to go with 46, please.
46,
that was good.
47? No.
47, I said 44.
You were closest, Chris. 42 for Seth Rogen.
Sorry, Seth.
Yeah.
Happy birthday yeah. to... we're running out of time here. Let's go. We want to do Chris Stapleton, Emma Thompson, Michael Cooper, or Jason Sehorn?
Chris Stapleton.
Chris Stapleton. All right. Country singer is how old?
I'd probably also say 36.
42.
This was the young man on SNL this yes. week, right? Okay, let's go with 38.
All right, Alan's the closest, 46.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
All right, guys, I'm wow. sure a lot of Kings Warriors coming up.
Yep.
Tons.
It is inevitable.
It's on. All right, let's do it. Styles and Watkins coming your way next right here on Sacktown Sports. See ya.